Lift up our hands to the Almighty God and bless His name. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him honor. Let's give Him adoration. Let's bless His holy name. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him adoration. Bless the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Bless the Ancient of Days. Bless the unchangeable Lord. Magnify His holy name. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise the Almighty God. Bless His holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have worshipped. We give you all the glory. We give you honor.
We give you all the glory. We give you honor.
Amen.
We give you all the glory.
We give you honor.
We give you all the glory. We give you honor.
Amen.
We give you all the glory.
Ancient of Days, we worship you. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we bow before you. Thank you for this great day, the day you, the Lord, had made. We thank you because we know, even though it has been long in coming, it is here at last. And we are going to rejoice, we are going to be glad in you. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, we have come to dedicate this temple to you. We ask that from this moment onward, it will become a miracle center.
Amen.
Let the sick be healed here.
Amen.
Let captives be set free.
Amen.
If they bring in the dead here, let the dead rise. If the poor comes here to worship, let the poor begin to prosper.
Amen.
Answer prayers here, Lord. Answer prayer by fire here.
Amen.
My Father and my God, I pray that the miracles will begin right now.
Amen.
That all those who are here today will never forget this day.
Amen.
And Lord God Almighty, we pray that even this very day, as your children will later on be praying, you will give each one walking out of this place a testimony today.
Amen.
Even as we dedicate this building to you, in the name of the Father,
amen,
and of the Son,
amen,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. I shake hands with two or three people, tell them my own is settled now. And then you may please be seated. God bless you. Well, my wife had already done half of the job for me. He has greeted all of you, and so I just add my own to the greetings. He had appreciated the high and mighty here. I just join my own appreciation to that. Like she said, we've been monitoring the pastor here for quite a while, and we are pleasantly surprised to see what we are seeing here today. And we say congratulations, sir. Congratulations, ma. And God will continue to help you. Now, in Nigeria, I normally don't dedicate churches anymore because there are too many for me to handle in answer to your prayers. But when, for any reason at all, I agree to go and dedicate one, the understanding is I will walk in, I will come to the altar, the people who are there, I will ask them to ask God for whatever they want, and then I will pray the prayer I've just prayed and go. Church dedication in Nigeria, if it's to be done by me, never lasted 10 minutes. Walking, the people are delighted. They say, as a matter of fact, they say, even if we just stop in the front of the church and you say, God bless you, that's enough for us. Now, I've not just stopped in front of your church. I'm inside and I'm saying, God bless you. But because you have subtly accused me of neglecting you for 17 years, I will add a little bit of preaching to all this. Psalm 24. I will just read verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The purpose of gates and doors is to keep whatever is inside, inside, and whatever is outside, outside. The purpose. As the reason you have gates, that's the reason you have doors. For example, in Judges 16, verse 1 to 3, Judges 16, verse 1 to 3, a moment the enemy discovered that Samson was in their town, in order for him not to be able to escape, they shut the gate. So you shut the gate to say to the fellow who is inside, you stay in. The people outside, you stay out. In Matthew 25, verse 6 to 12, Matthew 25, verse 6 to 12, you know the story of the 10 virgins. Five were wise, five were foolish. The bridegroom delayed. They all slept. When they heard this cry that the bridegroom was coming, they woke up. They trimmed their lamps, and then they discovered that oil was finishing. The wise who had extra oil poured in for fresh oil. The foolish begged for oil. The wise ones refused to give. So they went to buy. The Bible said before they returned, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. Once the door was shut, those who were in were in. Those who were out were out. So you can see the purpose of gates and doors is to keep what is in and what is out, out. Now when gates or doors open, probably by accident, prisoners can walk out of prison. In Acts chapter 16, for example, from verse 25 to the end, Acts 16, 25 to the end, when Paul and Silas were imprisoned and they began to worship God and to praise him, and there was an earthquake and the prison doors were open. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison open, his conclusion was the prisoners had escaped. Because when doors open, those who are in can go out. And I would love to prophesy to someone who has been held in bondage, held in prison by forces of darkness. Today, you are going out free. Also, when the door is shut, somebody is let in and the door is shut against him, particularly if it's a prison door, the destiny of that fellow could be sealed. I was listening to the news, I can't remember which channel, of someone who had been a serial killer. Finally, they caught him. And they said they sentenced him to 126 years. That's another way of saying that fellow is in permanently. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, Acts 12, verse 1 to 4, when a king decided to persecute the church, and he started with James, and after he killed James, he grabbed Peter and put him in prison with the intention that by the following day he will be dead. He thought the destiny of Peter was sealed. But I have good news for someone here today that your destiny is not in the hand of any man. And even if there are forces of darkness that have said to you, thus far you will go and no further, I have good news for you. The door will open today. Amen. So when we talk about doors and gates, we're talking about very serious matters. In Genesis 32, Genesis 30, verse 22, the Bible said God remembered Rachel and opened her womb. What does that tell you? The womb has a door. If it is shut, then we say the woman is barren. When that door is open, children begin to come forth. So that's good news for someone here already. If the door of your womb has been closed, it will be opened today. Amen. You see, when you read Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, Mark 10, 46 to 52, you hear the story of Bartimaeus that was born blind. And when he heard that Jesus was passing by and he began to cry out, and Jesus said, what is it you want? When he said that I might receive my sight, he was saying that the doors of my eyes might open. Whenever you hear the word open, they are talking to doors. If we say open your eyes, we're saying let the door of your eyes be opened. When we say close your eyes, what are we saying? Close the door. And Jesus spoke a word to him, all right, receive your sight, and suddenly his eyes opened. You might not get the full implication of that, and I don't have all the time to explain all these deep things to you, but I believe that even after I've left, the Holy Spirit will begin to add flesh to the skeleton you are getting now. You see, a man can have eyes and not see. A man can be surrounded by opportunities and yet he may die poor because the doors of his eyes are closed. A good illustration will be found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. It tells us the story of a widow who was neck deep in debt, completely destitute. And she thought all she had were two sons and a little bottle of oil. Unknown to her, she was surrounded by opportunities. Plenty of poor neighbors like herself, who had plenty of empty vessels that the Almighty God can turn around to bring her out of poverty on a permanent basis. But it took God to open the doors of our eyes. I believe God brought me to Delaware because there is someone whose eyes must be opened. So that they will see the tremendous opportunities for success that's in this state. I know I will come again. And by the next time I come, I know there are at least a dozen people here who will be begging, "Daddy, you have to ride in my Rolls Royce." If that is you, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Now the text we read said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." All gates open to the King of glory. All gates. And the King of glory is none other than Jesus Christ. I'm sure you know that. And the reason all gates, all doors open to him is because he has the master key. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Revelation 3, 7 says, "He's the one who has the key of David." Just one key. And when he opens, no man can shut. When he shuts, no man can open. All gates open to him because he has the master key. All gates open to him because he is the door. John chapter 10 verse 9. John 10 verse 9. He says, "I am the door." Not only that, there is no way you can shut him out. Unless he doesn't want to come in. John chapter 20, verse 19. John 20, verse 19 tells us what happened after the Jesus died and the apostles were afraid and they were in a room. They shut the door because they were afraid of the Jews. And Jesus just came in without anybody opening any door to him. I'm believing God that God we visit somebody this time. Now the beauty of it is that not only do all doors open unto Jesus, all doors open to those who are with him. If he's holding your hand and the doors open unto him, automatically the two of you will walking together. For example, in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 11, Acts 12, verse 5 to 11, when they had put Peter in that prison and they were getting ready to kill him the following morning, Bible said Peter was fast asleep. I like Peter. He's a friend of mine. Even while others were worried about him, he couldn't care less. He had committed his life into the hand of God. And he knew all would be well. And that's why, if you ask my children, they will tell you, whenever there seems to be any little storm, I always smile. "Don't worry yourself. My tomorrow will be all right." To represent the King of glory, the door will open unto him. I know the door will open unto me. And it will open to all my children. When there is a nation, and I won't want to mention the name of the nation, the government of that nation because they don't want to affect, they don't want to offend America, decided that, okay, we will allow churches. This is totally an Islamic nation. But all the churches must be concentrated in just one little corner. And they keep policemen there 24/7 to make sure that no native of that nation will come to church. But then we had our own church there. The place they said everybody must be, so you hold your service for 1 hour, another fellow will come in for 1 hour. So it's one church for everybody. But because the door opens unto Jesus and to those who are his favorites, one big man in that nation, for one reason or the other, was flipping through the television one day and saw us preaching. And he said, I like this man. At the end of the preaching, he went to the website of the church and decided, I must help this church. Located us. We didn't look for him. And then he said, I have a piece of land. If I say I give it to you as a church, they won't allow. But if I say I want to build a house, my house on my land, as a native of this land, there's no law against that. So he built a house. And the living room is bigger than this place. And he said to us, over to you. Hold your services here. If anybody has any questions, I will tell them, my friends are visiting me. I want to decree to somebody here today, in a way only God can do it, doors will begin to open unto you. Let me close. I've taken longer than I planned to. But I'm trying to make up for 17 years. Nothing goes for nothing. If nobody knows that one, they do in America. In America, no free lunch. If you want all doors to open unto you, there are certain things you must do. And all the things you must do can be crystallized into just one thing. Befriend the one to whom all doors open. That's easy to remember, isn't it? If the door is going to open to me, and I'm holding you by the hand, as I say, you are my friend, then when I go in, you go in. There are places in Nigeria and several other nations of the world that strangers are not welcome. But for one reason or the other, they welcome me. And by the grace of God, if I'm going and I'm holding Sawise Kunle Ajayi by the hand, when I go in, he comes in. Some of them may not even be able to, may not even be able to pronounce his name. It doesn't matter. Because he is my son, he is my friend, where I go, he goes. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 to 8, Joshua 1 verse 1 to 8, the Almighty God said to Joshua, you want the gates of victory to permanently open to you? Very simple. Wherever I go, you come along with me. You want the door of success to open unto you on a permanent basis? Why don't you check with Peter? In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. The moment Jesus entered into his boat, failure ended. Because the one who entered into his boat has the key that opens the door to success. You want joy unlimited? Befriend the King of Glory. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in his presence there is the fullness of joy. And of course, you want the door to heaven to open unto you? Befriend Jesus. John 14, verse 1 to 3. John 14, verse 1 to 3, he said, listen, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place. When I finish, I come for you. My Father in the Lord, the founder of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, explained that one to me. He said, son, if an angel comes to take you home when you die, you won't get anywhere near God. I said, how come? He said, because the glory of God is so mighty that even the special angels that stand before him, they have to cover their faces with two wings. Because if they dare open, if they dare open their eyes to that glory, the glory would destroy. And he showed me in the Bible. You remember when Moses said, God, show me your glory? I said, you see my glory, you die. So he said, the only way you can reach where God is, is if Jesus comes, takes you by the hand. Because he and God, they are one. You can pass through that glory to where the Almighty is. If anybody therefore thinks that he can make it to heaven by any other way other than through Jesus Christ, that fellow is a joker. That's why he said, no man comes to the Father except by me. What's the conclusion? You want doors to open? Yes, they can. You want them to open permanently? No problem. What do I do? I befriend the one for whom the door will open. He holds me by my right hand. And then wherever he goes, I go. And so any door that tries to block my way, I just lift up your head, so ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. I'm not the one coming. It is the King of Glory. Which brings us to the bottom line. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos 3, verse 3. Says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with the King of Glory except you are in total agreement. That's why he said, be ye holy for I am holy. He can't hold your hand if that hand is he writing false claims. He can't hold that hand if that hand is still into a little bit of card fraud. He is holy, you must be holy. That's why I keep crying. That's why some people say, what's wrong with him? Can't he preach any other sermon? There is no other sermon. If you can be holy, every door will open unto you. And of course, the journey to holiness begins only after you surrender your life to Jesus. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Because when you come to him, the first thing he does is that his blood will wipe away your sins. And then you can begin the journey to heaven, the journey to open doors together. So if there's anyone here, and you up to this moment you have been playing church, you have not really, really surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do it today. So that this day will become the returning point in your life. I will count from 1 to 4. If anybody wants to give his or her life to Jesus, and I mean total surrender now. Whatever he asks me to do, that's what I will do. Wherever he asks me to go, that's where I will go. I'm talking of total surrender to Jesus. If you want to truly, truly surrender your life to Jesus Christ, before I say 4, come and stand before me here. And we know that you really mean business if you come forward. But if you see fear, no, I can't come forward. I don't want everybody to see me going forward. Then you miss, you are not serious yet. But if you are serious, come now. I'm counting. 1. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you are clapping, clap. You are clapping for Jesus. Clap very well. Clap very well. 2. The journey to holiness begins with true salvation. Come now. And you need the King of Glory holding you by your hand for your doors to begin to open. 3. If there's anyone who still wants to come, come now before it is too late. It's not a question of what will my friend think. It's a question of how do you want to spend the rest of your life. You want to be groping in darkness, or you want him to open your eyes so that you begin to really, really see. Hurry up if you know you want to come. Thank God. Glory be to God. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Now, those of us who are already in the front, and those of you on the way, talk to Jesus now. I say, Lord, please save my soul today. I want genuine salvation, the real thing. I want all my sins gone once and for all. And I want to begin a brand new life in you. Talk to the Almighty God. And please, the rest of us, let's stretch our hands towards our brothers and sisters and really intercede for them. Pray that the one who saved your soul will save their own souls. Pray that if they see someone in this crowd who should be standing before me, but who is hesitating, that the Almighty God will push him or her forward so that he or she too can come and get salvation today. Let's pray for them. Those of us in front, ask God, have mercy on me, save my soul. I've come now to surrender my life to you. I want you to be not just my Savior, but my Lord. I want you to control the rest of my life. And I will serve you wholeheartedly. I want to live a life of purity. I want to live a life of holiness. And I need your help to be able to do so. Save my soul today. Save my soul today. Thank you, Father. If there's anyone who still wants to come, be sure you get there before I finish praying, because I want to pray for salvation now. It's not too late yet. You can still come, provided you hurry up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior of mankind, I just want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you for these people who have decided at last to surrender their lives to you. You promise, O Lord, that anyone who will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They have come now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Be merciful unto them. Amen. Save their souls. Amen. Let your blood wash away their sins. Amen. Father, I'm praying that today you will write their names in the book of life.
Amen.
And I pray that the grace to live holy, you will release unto them.
Amen.
Don't let them ever go back into the life of sin.
Amen.
Uphold them till the very end.
Amen.
And from now on, any time they call on you, please answer them by fire.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father and my God.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now I rejoice with you, because from now on, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you on a daily basis. So I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request. The pastors here will help me collate. I promise you, as a man of God, I'll be praying for you. But I want you to stay where you are now, because I want you to be part of the prayer. The rest of us will be praying in a moment. Brethren, today is a very special day. We're doing a dedication service, and I trust my God, He will give you a dedication miracle.
Amen.
So I want you to stand on your feet. And if you believe He's going to answer your prayers, let me hear you shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I want you to think of something special that you want God to do for you. Something that you remember this day by. And then lift up your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, today, give me a dedication miracle. And then you tell Him what that one is. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Almighty God, this day in particular, give me a dedication miracle. A miracle I will never, never forget. And this is the miracle I want, oh Lord. This is the miracle I want. Go ahead, talk to Him. Tell Him. And He will grant your request.